morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. We're following along with Packers training camp this morning. Zach Cruz is running the live blog. But to kick off the show today, we have a special guest joining us. We have Phil Dawson of the Big 1070 in Madison joining us. Phil, how you doing this morning?
I think I'm just as jacked up as everybody that football is finally here, and we're getting practice reports, and we're leading up to family night. It's all kind of building up. The beast is back, Brian.
Exactly. Phil, we're glad to have you on the show. I've been on your radio station there in Madison several times, so it's great to repay the favor. And I have a question here just right off the bat, just because I'm curious. You can sure. Gauge the pulse of Madison perhaps as good as anyone. And Madison, the city of Madison is, of course, big into following the University of Wisconsin sports. But where do you think the level of interest is in the Packers in Madison?
Well, it's still number one. I know this. When we open the phone, because I do a talk show down here in Madison 3 to 6 every afternoon, Packers still is number one. I mean, you can bring up a Packers topic, and that is what can drive a show for 3 hours because there's just so much content and so many people interested in it. So as much as we love the Badgers here, and Badger football can carry, how about 2 hours, I'll say, Packer football can carry all 3 hours of a show. It could carry a 24-hour cycle when Brett Favre was here. As you know, because there were just so many topics to go off of when Favre was around. But Packers is still number one. That's what the love about this state is, that it's just all Packers all the time. It's so easy to go there just because there's so much interest, and generating the content is pretty easy too because everybody wants to hear everything.
It's pretty clear the entire state of Wisconsin loves its Packers, whether it's the people in Milwaukee who also have the Brewers and Bucks, but I think it's right. The same case there as well. But let's talk some football, of course, with training camp getting underway. I think everybody's kind of looking at the Green Bay Packers defense that was so poor last year. Is this defense going to improve, Phil? What are your opinions on it, or how might they improve? Feel free to take that in any direction you want.
Sure. Well, I'd start by saying, I mean, they can't be any worse, can they? I don't think they can. They were they were 32nd, I think, in yards allowed per game, allowing like over 400 yards a game. So you can only imagine that they get better defensively. How much better is going to, we're going to have to see. But, the thing that I would like to see this team be better at, we know that they gave up a lot of yards, that this was a team that could create turnovers. They have some playmakers that can create turnovers. But the one thing I think that this team needs to be better at is stopping teams on third down. That's what they didn't have. They would allow teams to kind of run up and down the field on them and then maybe get a turnover or there would be a score. They allowed over 22 points a game last year, which is right in the middle of the rankings in the NFL. But they were third in the league in first downs per game allowed by their defense. So that's something that I think really needs to change. And we know how third downs happen, how you stop people on third down, because it's either you got to get a good pass rush, something that the Packers were missing, or better coverage. And so you would imagine the Packers to be better in both those areas, and stopping teams on third down to create punt and return opportunities. That's what I'd really like to see from the defense, to be better if there's one specific area. Because we know it has to be better, but the one specific area, they need to be better on third down. It's the most critical down, and they have to be better there. So that's what I'd really like to see, and I think they will be better.
Okay, so how about this? How is the changes they've made on defense? Perhaps in particular the move of one Charles Woodson, who's obviously been one of the best defensive players in the NFL for much of the past decade. How is his move to safety going to impact the team? How is he going to do there?
You know what? It's going to be interesting, isn't it? I can't wait to see how it looks. The one thing that we know about Charles Woodson, that we love about Charles Woodson, is that he has that innate ability to be a playmaker, that ball hawk, to make plays, interceptions, tipped passes. And when you're a corner, you have the ability to kind of take more chances, be a risk taker, because you have backup. You have a safety or two behind you that if you're going to dive for that ball, that you can make a play on it, and if you miss, you got your backup behind you. Now, he's going to be lined up, I assume, you know, as a strong safety, so he's going to be, you know, covering the tight end, something like that, or one of the slot guys, wherever the move happens to be at safety in particular for him. How much backup will he have? How many risks can he take? Because that's part of his game, and, you know, I trust him fully, but I don't know how much to trust the guys that are backing him up. I love Morgan Burnett, but will he be in the right place at the right time in case there's a miss on a play? You know, if Woodson dives for something and a play breaks loose, are they going to have to be chasing him down, or will there be a guy there to help out? So that's the one concern I'd have about it. The other one is just how good, and I assume, right, Jared Bush is the guy working opposite corner. If he's physical enough to be a man-on-man coverage guy all game long, mm-hmm. can he do it play in, play out, and most particularly on third down where they're going to need him, you know, to be big, physical, and stop guys before, if they make a catch, to stop them before they get to that first down marker. So I think he'll play just fine, but it's going to be it'll be a real fun to see if his game changes at all by moving into that position.
Part of the equation on defense as well is all the new rookies they added. The Packers went, you know, their first six picks were on defense during the NFL draft. Is there any one of these guys in particular you're looking forward to seeing?
Oh, absolutely. I know the exact guy, and I'll tell you, I got a great story too about him. And, you know, the reasons being because I know him from watching him. Talking about Jarrell Worthy, the defensive tackle.
Okay.
So, obviously, I know him from watching him, watching Michigan State. He was big in the, you know, in the Big Ten title game, had like a pass breakup against the Badgers in the Big Ten title game. Had, if you've ever seen any film against or watched, you know, watching him against the Badgers, and we know that they have NFL offensive linemen. He's a guy that doesn't get moved off the line, number one. So if you're just looking for something that's positive from this get-go, well, he's hard to move. Secondly, in those games, you know, in the Outback Bowl, he was just dominant against Georgia. 2 years ago, had a big game in a field goal block and sacked Denard Robinson, a guy who's, you know, going to be up for the Heisman this year. Mm-hmm. So I know he can play, watching him play. And secondly, when we did a show down here, it was the Friday after the first round of the NFL draft, and it was the Friday before the Badgers spring game.
Okay.
And every Friday before the spring game, our show goes live at Bucky's Locker Room, which is inside Camp Randall, and we always have Brett Bielema on, the Badger head football coach. He always comes on to preview the spring game and all that stuff. Well, this year we were lucky enough, hey, to talk about guys who got drafted, you know, Peter Kahns, hey, hooray, where will Russell Wilson go? Everybody wants to know. And we asked him, you know, any, what about these other Big Ten guys? And so off the air, Brett Bielema tells us, you know, what I was really surprised about, and this is Bielema talking now, what I was really surprised about is that Jarrell Worthy wasn't a first-round pick. He's like, I'm telling you guys, he's the most ferocious defensive lineman that we've ever had to prepare for. Reason being, there's nobody faster off the line of scrimmage that I've ever seen. So this is coming from, you know, Brent Bielema, who played defensive line when he was the D coordinator at Wisconsin. They had some of their best defenses in history. And obviously we know his acumen when it comes to football. Maybe not calling timeouts and that kind of stuff, but you know what I mean. You know what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. So he talked about this guy. He talked him up more than any other player I've ever heard him talk him up that wasn't his own, and was talking about Jarrell Worthy. Then we start getting these reports out of camp that even before the pads go on, that, you know, it's Woodson or it's someone else talking about the energy level that Jarrell Worthy brings. So there it is. I'm thinking, oh, man, this is going to be good. Then the pads go on, and sure enough, the same stuff that I heard, you know, prior to the the Packers even picking him, kind of hearing the same stuff floating from Green Bay about Jarrell Worthy, the first step, the energy level, what he can bring. And you would imagine that that's going to be huge. Now, he may not be statistically have the most, you know, he may not have the most sacks or whatever it may be, but you would imagine with his speed, his size, he opens things up for B.J. Raji. That, in addition to helping the defensive line, then, of course, would help both Nick Perry and Clay Matthews. And if they're putting pressure on the quarterback, specifically on a third down, then that would help out the secondary. Maybe Charles Woodson is making some plays. And now you're talking about a defense that's stopping everybody, giving the ball back to an offense that scores every time down the field. It's going to be awesome.
Well, I tell you, that's music to Packer fans' ears, I think, with the story you shared about Brett Bielema and Jarrell Worthy. I know everyone hopes that'll come true. We've spent a lot of time talking about the defense so far. How about the offense? Yesterday at training camp practice, Donald Driver caught 3 touchdown passes. And I know it's only practice, but, you know, where do you fall, perhaps, on the Donald Driver the opinion about him? Is he too old? Does he still have it? Is he going to make the team? Where is he going to fall among, you know, how much playing time he gets? What do you think about these topics, Phil?
I would start with saying that I think, you know, it's obvious. I can't really say anything new. His best days are behind him. If he can bring, you know, some stability, how about if a Randall Cobb is struggling, if James Jones isn't what the Packers want him to be, if he isn't doing what they need him to be doing, or Randall Cobb isn't making the kind of plays that they need him to make, I think Donald Driver can be a stabilizing kind of force as a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't expect him to compete against those guys, so it's kind of their roles, the Cobbs and Jones, it's their job not to lose their job to Donald Driver, if you follow that. That's mm-hmm. what I see happening. I don't know how much he's going to contribute, because if he's contributing, that means one of the guys that's supposed to be contributing is not. And that would be more disappointing to me than making me feel happy for Donald Driver to be making plays. As great as that would be, I want to see Randall Cobb doing more. I want to see James doing more. So if the other thing is, if it's Donald Driver, great, I'm happy for him, but that means other guys aren't performing up to their full capability, and that would be kind of disappointing.
Well, with all these threats the Packers have at the receiving position, you know, there's talk that the Packers might even keep 7 wide receivers this year, possibly.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers has all these targets. How is this offense going to be? Is it going to be as good as last year? Can it get better? Yeah, we talked about the defense. We said if they have nowhere to go but up, but I mean, the offense was good to begin with. Can it actually get better?
You know what, Brian? I think it can. And it works in unison with the defense being better. You know, one of the things that we saw that hurt the defense a year ago was the fact that they're on the field a lot, because the offense was so prolific, they'd score points and then put that defense back out on the field. And they could do all, you know, they would do all they could do, giving up yards. Maybe they grab a turnover. Maybe they got scored on, whatever it would be. But if the defense is better, so now, again, it works perfectly in unison. So let's just say Packers receive a kick. You got Randall Cobb. He gets out to the 40. Packers offense scoots down the field because they're so prolific. Boom, touchdown, they're up. Defense goes on the field, 3-and-out. That gives the ball right back to that offense. That's how they can be better. They can have the ball more
mm-hmm.
if the defense really takes a step up. And I think, again, like we talked about, I don't see a reason why it can't. It really should. And if it does, that means Aaron Rodgers is going to have the ball in his hands more. And that just means more points, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's the logic I'm working under.
I do like the logic, though. I mean, they bring up a good point about it, because the defense could be better, you know, the offense will touch the ball more, and that's
yeah,
a fair point.
And I don't know if individually, you know, anybody can have, well, I guess Randall Cobb, we don't know yet how prolific he can be. I don't know individually if you can really have better seasons than than guys did. But if they're, but again, if they're getting the ball more, they have a chance to have better statistics. So, but I don't know if they're actually going to be like better players. I don't know. Maybe JerMichael Finley can cut out some of the drops. That would be nice to see. And then, you know, again, getting back to Cobb, maybe we see him kind of take a step forward as a real valuable weapon for this offense and Mike McCarthy. So that's just logically the way I see it. But I don't know if anybody really is, you know, more talented or they can do anything more than what they did last year to having the ball more and more opportunity.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Before we let you go, Phil, how about just a prediction for the season? How's this season going to go for the Packers? You know, how far do they go in the playoffs and maybe what their record will be?
I hate to do this, but I am going undefeated and winning the Super Bowl, Brian.
That's a bold prediction.
They won 15 games last year. what's the top? Give me the toughest games on their schedule. Week one's going to be tough, but that's in Green Bay. Week three, you get New Orleans. I don't know what to expect out of them. And if the defense is better, Brian, why can't they?
They got to play at.
They're not going to blow it in the playoffs this year. That's for sure.
They do have to play the defending Super Bowl champion Giants on the road. That comes kind of late, mid to late season.
They will beat them.
They will beat them.
They're not getting beat by. They're not getting beat. Those Giants, come on. That was. They played their worst game at the worst possible time last year. So they're going to go to New York and they are going to beat those Giants. They are not going to be apologizing for spanking all these teams up and down during the regular season and then, you know, just powering their way through the playoffs to the Super Bowl. At least getting to the Super Bowl, depending on who they play. I don't know, maybe the Patriots would provide a stiff challenge, but the Packers are better. I'm going Packers undefeated Super Bowl champs. Is that a little too homerish?
Perhaps, but you know what? I hope you're right. So I'll just
look,
say
it wasn't far. It wasn't that far off from last season, right? They just got beat in the playoffs. They should have been in the Super Bowl and they should have won it. Then I would have been I would have been a game off.
Well, Phil, thank you so much for joining us here this morning. You did terrific. So perhaps we got to do this again sometime.
I would love to. Thank you, Brian. And we'll get you back on our show, too, sometime soon here.
All right. Sounds good. Phil Dawson
right,
of the Big.
Care.
Yeah. Take care. Phil Dawson of the Big 1070 in Madison joining us here on Railbird Central this morning, talking some Packers football, talking Packers training camp as practice is underway. We got the live blog going this morning. We're following all the beat reporters tweeting in their updates, seeing what's going on. And you know, I've kind of been hard for me to follow along so far since practice has begun, but I'll try to touch on a few of the things that are happening. I can see the most latest information here. Tom Silverstein tweeting of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Cornerback Devon House still with the number one defense. Jennings and Nelson, the starting wideouts. Well, that's not too surprising. But, you know, there's been a lot of attention in the secondary ever since camp began because it's everybody's been getting their chance. You know, day one, Jarrett Bush was with the starters. And, you know, that kind of came as a surprise right there, Jarrett Bush with the starters. And then, of course, he was replacing Sam Shields, a guy who started several games last year and kind of has fallen out of favor, fallen a little bit in the doghouse. But, you know, of course, then, you know, everybody's gotten their chance, it seems like, during training camp so far. And we're only, what, six practices in now? But I, you know, just hearing the reports coming out of Green Bay from all these beat reporters we're following on Twitter, you know, Sam Shields has gotten his chance with the number one defense. Casey Hayward, I'm not sure he's been with the starters, but he's gotten his chance with the first string dime defense, I think. And now Devon House here for a second day with the starters. So kind of interesting to see the developments that are going on. Maybe Devon House is kind of separating himself. You know, the longer he works with the starters, the better, you know, as far as we're talking about Devon House is concerned. You know, I'm not sure what that says about Jarrett Bush. You know, he kind of made waves just for the first day just because he was playing with the starters. Has Jarrett Bush been playing good, been playing bad? I've kind of seen both. You know, just again, the reports that I'm seeing, you know, he gets beat there, but he'll make a good breakup of a pass there. Kind of good and bad, but House seems to be steadily good here so far, which comes as great news. Of course, Devon House, a guy who didn't play very much at all last year, and now getting his chance here this year, getting his chance in 2012, and we'll see if he can keep it up. I mean, that'll be the storyline to follow. Can Devon House keep it up? Can he stick with the starters? And, you know, of course, it'll be really good to see, starting with the family night scrimmage on Friday here. You know, you'll get a chance to see him in action. You'll get him to see a chance to see them tackle. You know, a lot was made about the tackling last year, the poor tackling from the team as a whole. You know, especially Sam Shields was not all that good in the tackling department last year. But as well as Devon House, you know, when I saw him at training camp last year, and injuries played a part, not the most physical guy ever. Of course, he's, you know, a small guy compared to linebackers and defensive linemen on the team, so it's not always easy for a small guy like that to be taking on much bigger ball carriers, but it is a point of emphasis this year. It is a point of emphasis. Let's see, in the injury department, I see Desmond Bishop is back practicing, maybe not on a full-time basis, but I think I saw a picture there from, was it Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel? Bishop had his helmet on and maybe not in practice, but maybe not hitting today, but he's back out there. And apparently Greg Jennings is in pads, a guy who sat out for a couple practices here. Greg Jennings, good to see him back. I mean, when you got starters out, of course, that's never a good thing. You know, offense, defense doesn't matter. Desmond Bishop is a starter in the Packers defense. Greg Jennings is a Pro Bowl type of player in the Packers offense. Those guys are back, and that's great. I see Zach Cruz giving the update here on the live blog. Both Bishop and Kuhn are back in shells. Both must be off the PUP list. Need 2 days of shells per CBA rules. Good point. So, yeah, I mean, if you, you're just coming back, you can't be in pads right away. Per the new collective bargaining agreement in the NFL, you have to have 2 days with just shells on, no pads. So, but it's good to see Bishop and Kuhn back. So those two guys there coming off the PUP list, apparently, you know, if they're off it officially, they're able to practice today. That means Bishop and Kuhn practicing today, tomorrow in shells, and they'll be back in pads in time for family night. And I don't know, maybe the Packers take it easy yet. Maybe these guys just coming off the PUP list, just coming back from injury, you want to take it slow with them. You don't really want them hitting maybe full speed in a family night scrimmage situation where you know, guys are trying to you know, really make an impression and make a push for a job that night. You know, you've got some undrafted rookie who's really going to hit somebody hard and not going to be afraid to hit somebody hard. Maybe you don't want to throw Bishop and Kuhn back into the fire yet. We'll see. We'll find out. But, you know, it's only a good situation when guys like that are back in the fray. So Kevin Lamb comments on the live blog, hope to see Zombo and Sherrod back soon. Of course, those are two guys who are still currently on the PUP list and have been on there since the start of training camp, have not practiced yet, not practiced all, whether pads, no pads, or anything. They haven't seen the field, and that's not helping their chances. I mean, especially a guy like Frank Zombo. He's really on the edge of being cut. I mean, Frank Zombo needs to get out there on the field, or he's really, really, I mean, how much longer can you, you know, how much time can the Packers invest into a guy like Frank Zombo? Not a whole lot. I mean, he needs to get off the PUP list and prove himself, because at some point, if he doesn't practice at all, the Packers are just going to cut him. I mean, there isn't a whole lot of talk about Frank Zombo and perhaps it's because he's just so far down the depth chart. But, you know, unless his injury is really bad and something that's going to keep him out the whole season, that the Packers can just put him on injured reserve or something, like I said, he's got to prove himself. At some point, the pad's got to go on because, you know, his time might not be long in Green Bay. He does have a couple weeks. You know, they don't have to actually make any roster cuts until, you know, it's after the third preseason game. So players have a long time here. You know, they got the family night scrimmage. They got three preseason games to kind of, you know, make an impression, impress the coaches, and maybe they'll stick around. And you know, it's just the first cut after the third preseason game. I think they go from 90 to 75, and so you still got 75 players for the last preseason game, and then after that, you know, you cut down to 53. But still. Got to make an impression at some point. Now, Derek Sherrod, he's a guy whose job is a little bit more secure just because he was a first-round draft choice. Nobody's ready to give up on a first-round draft choice yet. And, you know, he did have a rather more serious injury last year. I'm assuming more serious than a guy like Frank Zombo. You know, Derek Sherrod broke his leg, broke a bone in his lower leg. During late last season. Understandably, he's slow to come back. You know, the comments from Mike McCarthy before training camp is that Sherrod was close to coming back. It shouldn't be long. So, you know, it'd be really nice to see Sherrod practicing before the first preseason game. And again, maybe one of those things where they bring him along slowly, they hold him out of the first preseason game, something like that. But, you know, it'd be really nice to see him back in action before the preseason is over. So when the regular season starts, you know, a little over a month from now, he's ready by then. You know, maybe Derek Sherrod isn't starting, but he can be a backup, maybe the top backup at both tackle positions by then. So, you know, these guys, you're hoping they all come off the PUP list. And there's a couple more on there, too, as well. And, you know, a couple guys further down the depth chart, of course. And I think we're talking about, you know, rookie guard James Brooks, defensive lineman Johnny Jones. And they're in the same boat as Frank Zombo. Guys like that, they're so far down the depth chart that they have to prove themselves soon. Or they're just be cut before they even have a chance to show what they're worth, a chance to prove themselves. So, you know, that there's basically your injury report for the day at Packers training camp practice. Who's back, who's not, things like that. I've seen a couple reports of guys who are still out. It looks like Ryan Pickett isn't practicing today. Daniel Muir. So there you go, two defensive linemen not practicing today. Both those guys got injured yesterday. I think we're talking about what their knee situations with both of them, perhaps Ryan Pickett and Mike Daniels, the rookie out of Iowa. So, you know, that's not a good thing, but I'm not sure either one of those is serious. You know, they just kind of, you know, you saw Ryan Pickett walking around yesterday with ice on his knee, or at least those are the pictures that I saw yesterday. So I don't think they're anything too serious. And who else? The rookie running back Mark Tyler out of USC isn't practicing today either. So again, there's your injury update. Let's try to talk about some other, you know, places on the team here. I see the tweet from Mike Vandermause here of the Green Bay Press Gazette. I mean, he's talking about kickoff returners, Burrell to get the first rep. And yesterday, all sorts of kick and punt returners were getting reps ahead of Randall Cobb. And I think what's happening here is it's just a situation where the Packers are, you know, getting guys prepared in case anything happens to Randall Cobb. I think without question, without a doubt, Randall Cobb is both your kick returner and your punt returner on the Packers roster. Without question, without doubt. I mean, He's there. Nobody's going to unseat him. He's potentially a Pro Bowler as a return specialist. He's on the verge of being among the best players in the NFL at doing that specialized skill. He's fine. Come opening day, as long as he's healthy, you know, he'll be back there returning kickoff. So, but in case anything were to happen, in case he's injured at all, the Packers are just making sure they're giving these other guys reps, like DeAndre Burrell, you know, giving him a chance to show what he can do. You know, maybe he teams up with Randall Cobb, is lining up deep, even though Randall Cobb will probably take most of the reps. But that's a way to get DeAndre Burrell involved. Or, you know, who would be the punt returner if Cobb got hurt? You know, Tremont Williams did it during the Super Bowl season. And I wouldn't doubt at all that he would take over the duties if Cobb got hurt. So I think it's just a case where the Packers, you know, letting these guys, keeping them active, keeping them fresh, trying to get them into that routine, just so they're used to returning kicks, returning punts. So if they ever have to during a game, they can do it. Guys like Jordy Nelson, I see, has been taking kicks as well. See the retweet here from Zach Cruz. The NFL commissioner has landed in Green Bay, headed over to Packers training camp with Coach John Madden. Fantastic. So the NFL commissioner on his way to watching the... there we go. The NFL commish right there. Roger Goodell. He's taken in practice today. Fantastic. I see good news from the Rob Domofsky of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Good impressions these undrafted rookies must be making here. He's saying safety Sean Richardson and outside linebacker Desmond Moses, the only undrafted rookies on the top two kickoff cover units, both on the twos. So, that shows that these guys are making an effort, making a push to make the roster. Maybe they're not quite on the first string yet, but they're doing a good job. So, as far as the undrafted rookies on the team go, I would say I'm almost into locking Desmond Moses in for a roster spot. You know, how about that? Can we already lock Desmond Moses in for making the 53-man roster? I think you can. You know, there's just so much uncertainty behind Clay Matthews and Nick Perry at the outside linebacker spots. There's so many guys who didn't work out last year. I just think Desmond Moses has made an impression. And, I think you can lock him in. No pencil, get out the pen. Write Desmond Moses in. He's made the 53-man roster. You know, it looks like he's getting reps ahead of guys like Eric Walden, ahead of Brad Jones, ahead of Vic Sioto. And there's time still for all those guys to make a push yet. We haven't played a game yet in the preseason. But Desmond Moses really, off to a fast start. You know, making people turn their heads at training camp. Guy like safety Sean Richardson, he's got a little bit more to go. There's plenty of competition in the Packers secondary, particularly at the safety position. But if he can be a help on special teams, he's got a chance. So it's fun to watch, isn't it? Here we are, the Packers training camp. Again, it's been underway now for a week and a day. And it's fantastic. We're back to football action here. It's that time of year. And the family night's on Friday. So just 2 days away, you get to see these guys do some real hitting. Seeing them in action, although it's an intra-squad scrimmage, which isn't the greatest thing to ever watch. You never want to watch Packers versus Packers. You want to see the Packers beating up on another team, right? But that time is coming soon. It would be, 2 weeks from today would be the first preseason game? 2 weeks from tomorrow, 2 weeks from tomorrow They take on the San Diego Chargers in the preseason opener, week one of the preseason, on Thursday. So a little more than 2 weeks away, but it'll come real fast. It'll come real fast. If you're heading to practice in Green Bay, make sure and make note tomorrow. It's a nighttime practice for the first time. Today actually ends the early morning practices. They've been starting at 8:15 ever since training camp started. Today's the last one at 8:15. From here on out, Packers starting tomorrow at 7 p.m., I believe it is. Kind of getting ready for the nighttime family night scrimmage. But they kind of start at different intervals all throughout training camp. I think there's some 3:15 starts. They're going to start at 11 a.m. later. All sorts of different start times to training camp. So just kind of make sure as you, if you're going to training camp, you're noting all these different start times, because they can get a little bit goofy and they're like almost changing by the day. So that's it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you everybody so much for joining us. We're going to keep the live blog going. Don't worry about that. So we'll continue to follow along with the reports coming from training camp, follow along with the tweets from the beat reporters. If you want to comment away, feel free. We'll keep that open, keep that going. But as far as Railbird Central is concerned, we're going to wrap it up for the day. Thank you so much to Phil Dawson of the Big 1070 in Madison for joining us today, talking some Packers football, talking some training camp. Great to have him on the show. And on behalf of everybody at Cheesehead TV, thank you. So like I said, stick around, follow the live blog. We aren't going anywhere. So continue to do that. We'll see you on Friday morning here at Railbird Central. I'm trying to set up a guest on Friday. I don't want to say who it is yet because I haven't confirmed it yet. But hopefully I will shortly. And we'll be able to do that new guest on Friday morning, Railbird Central. So come back 8:30 a.m. I leave you today with a song called Freaker by the Speaker, by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack. Go. Trade on.